Today we're beginning a brand new series entitled 69 Prophecies Still to be Fulfilled Before the Second Coming of the Lord. This is part number one. Now we begin with a question. What prophecies are still in our future before the second coming? And as promised, I've laid out these prophecies that are still to come. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies have been fulfilled in the perfect order spoken by the Lord in the Bible, hundreds and hundreds of years before they actually happened. And with that, I can say this to you, we can be assured that the prophecies yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled in proper order. Here's one perfect example. In Isaiah 44, verse 28, and Isaiah 45, verse 1, the Lord says that He anointed Cyrus the Great by name, He told his name, 150 years before Cyrus was born and told us what he would do for the Lord. Such is an example of a divine prophecy that was fulfilled, and we can find such examples repeatedly throughout the Bible by comparing the Bible to our world history books. Both can be used to create a timeline of past and future prophecies from those two sources, our Bible and our history books. Therefore, there is a method to the design of the timeline chart that we will use to guide this study. We will focus on the 69 major prophecies that must be fulfilled between now and the time of the second coming of the Lord. Please, I want you to notice there's an emphasis on them being the major prophecies. This statement alone means that there will also be minor prophecies that must be fulfilled along the way, which are plentiful. However, for the major prophecies to be fulfilled, all the little minor ones have to also be fulfilled. Each of those minor ones also have to be fulfilled in the proper order. Now, what do I mean by proper order? It means that the prophecies are fulfilled in the same timeline with the exact details as they were recorded in the Word of God, with nothing out of order. Now, we could proof text the fulfillment of prophecies out of context to fabricate that a prophecy has been fulfilled, but that would not be presenting the Word of God's storyline accurately. Many people who are proclaiming prophecies today are proof texting out of context and out of order. All prophecies fulfilled thus far in time have occurred with the exact details recorded in the Scripture. Nothing is added, nothing is absent, nothing is embellished, and most of all, nothing is a surprise. To prove this point, I want us to look at the prophecies that have just been completed, which will show how the Lord fulfills prophecies according to how they were recorded in the Bible. And by looking at these prophecies, we can identify where we are now, which might be better called, "You are here, X marks the spot." From these, we can look at the 69 major prophecies in the order that they must be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord from our point in time right now. For you to keep everything in order in your mind, I have created a timeline with each prophecy in its proper order for you to review. Each prophecy has a number by it to help you keep the prophecies in order on that chart. For the prophecies to be fulfilled, multiple storylines occur simultaneously. In fact, that happens in the Bible. In every little story that's within the big story of the whole Bible, there are multiple little storylines of at least four individuals or four groups in every Old Testament passage, and at least five in every New Testament passage. We will only look at the storylines of three groups in this series. The three storylines we will use will be concerned with the church, the Gentiles, and the Jews. You will notice that I have three storylines on this chart called the church, one called the Gentiles, and one called the Jews. And each line is separated from the other two. And because the Lord has provided specific prophecies that apply to each group. Special prophecies for the church, special prophecies for the Gentiles, and special prophecies for the Jews. You will see these storylines throughout the series as we add the prophecies still to be fulfilled on each line when they come in the order and in the timeline. And for now, we need to explain each storyline. First of all, there's the church storyline. Now, in the church storyline, nothing, absolutely nothing remains to be fulfilled until the snatching away happens. That's the rapture. That is right. That is, there's absolutely no more church prophecies that must be fulfilled before the rapture of the church can occur. However, there are Gentile prophecies that must occur before the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church on the storyline will be the last fulfillment for her on earth. She then goes to heaven where the remaining prophecies continue for her on the storyline in heaven. And once those prophecies are fulfilled, we will end up at the storyline of the second coming where we will return to earth for the second coming and the prophecies there. The Gentile storyline. The Gentile storyline is in the middle of the chart because most of everything we will discover in this series deals with the Gentile nations. Now, the Jewish storyline, or the Jew storyline. At the bottom of the chart, we have the Jews. Nothing will happen with the Jew storyline until the Lord seals the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, in the sixth seal opened by the Lord, seen in the book of Revelation. With the Jewish line empty for much of this series, we will use its space, or the top of its space, for Gentile prophecies that must be explained in the chart. Therefore, the whole middle of our chart will be taken up by basically Gentile prophecies most of the way through this series. Now, you might be worried about the nation of Israel, but you should not worry. For those of you who were alive in 1948, Israel finally became a nation again and was gifted its land back to her for the first time since the Assyrian Empire captured the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC, and the Babylonian Empire captured the southern kingdom in 605 BC. In 1948, when Britain gave the promised land back to Israel, prophecy was fulfilled. It took 2,553 years for Israel to regain her land. It occurred two full days and half of a third day on the Lord's heavenly time clock. In fact, in Hosea 6, talking about when they would get the land back, Hosea says this, "He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before Him." It's talking about them when they're going to get their land back. Now, the Lord protects Israel through the angel Michael. Israel will continue to be a rebellious nation against the Lord until a miraculous event occurs that will change her mind and her heart about the Lord. For now, all prophecies are fulfilled until that 144,000 Jews are sealed. And until then, Israel is where she will be, and she is protected by the angel Michael, and we will discover that in the book of Ezekiel, or just as we discovered in the book of Ezekiel. Israel is perfectly fine. She is going to be protected, and nothing will happen to her. After the 144,000 Jews are sealed, the next prophecy for Israel will be the signing of a 7-year peace treaty. And almost everybody knows about that who's been part of the church. Now, we need to move and talk about recently completed prophecies. In order to know where we are in the prophecy timeline, where are we? Where's the X that marks the spot? We must identify the most recently completed prophecies. To this, we need to look at the three timelines and the fulfilled prophecies on each timeline. So in the chart, we are going to begin with the highlights of Revelation chapter 1 through 4 and the highlights of for the church and for the highlights found in Daniel chapter 2 for the Gentiles. Revelation 1:19 gave a three-stage outline for the entire book of the book of Revelation, and the Lord says it to John. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, stage one, and the things which are, stage two, and the things which will take place after these things, stage three. Stage one, the things which you have seen. Now, John has just seen the Lord in his vision, and the Lord told him to write down what he was seeing. And so John recorded the appearance of the Lord. Stage two, the things that are. The Lord told John to write a letter to 7 different churches, and at the end of each short letter, the Lord indicated that that church would cease to exist. Its doors would close. Its days as a local church would come to an end. And as such, these 7 churches were presented as a timeline to inform future generations of the progression of the fulfillment of the Lord's prophecies. Now, Daniel asked about this progression in the 12th chapter of his book, but Daniel did not have the whole Bible in hand to have all the insight needed to understand the future, but we do. The Lord had much to tell other prophets to record down in the future prophecies after Daniel had actually died, and he did not tell Daniel the rest of the story. Daniel was left with the Lord telling him that in the future, those who have insight will understand. That's found in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 10. And because we have the whole Bible, we can do that. We have the whole Word of God. And because of that, we have insight and can understand the fulfilled prophecies and the prophecies still to come. Stage three, the things which will take place after these things. After the things that are, meaning all the 7 churches that John wrote to in the Revelation, have permanently closed their doors and ceased to exist, then and only then can the rest of the prophecies in the book continue to unfold. With that, we come to a chart. And I want to develop this chart for you. These are the recently fulfilled prophecies for the church, for the Gentiles, and for the Jews. And as we start there with the church line, you see in that box, Revelation 1:19, these are the things which are. I want you to pay attention here. In A.D. 263, the church of Ephesus ceased to exist. In fact, the whole town was destroyed totally by the Goths, and the church ceased to exist. That's church number one is gone. In A.D. 1336, the church in Pergama ceased to exist. Christianity was outlawed by the Muslim Turks, and they forced the church to close its doors, and the church ceased to exist. In 1390, the church in Philadelphia ceased to exist because the Christians were deported by the Muslims out of Philadelphia because the Muslim Turks had taken over that town and they deported. They actually sent them out and got them out of the town. In 1402, the church in Sardis ceased to exist. Once again, 1402, just 12 years after Philadelphia, the Muslims deported the Christians out of Sardis and the church doors were closed. In 1450, the church in Laodicea ceased to exist. Why? Because Laodicea, the city, was plainly abandoned. It was just, it had dwindled and dwindled and dwindled, and it finally was abandoned. In 1921, the church in Smyrna ceased to exist. Christians were deported by the Muslims. And then in 1922, the church in Thyatira ceased to exist, with the Christians deported by the Muslim Turks. That's the church storyline from the time of the Revelation until the last church of the Revelation shut its doors just 100 years ago. We're in 2022, and it was in 1922 when the last church of the Revelation shut its doors. Now, we come to the Gentile line. The times of the Gentiles, that they're going to be in control of the world, and of course they were in control of the world in 96 AD when John was writing his book of the Revelation. Now here's what happens. It's an interesting thing. The Roman Empire would divide into two legs in AD 395. The Roman Empire divided into two legs, a western leg and an eastern leg. Now get this. In AD 476, at the beginning of the Dark Ages, that western leg of the Roman Empire fell to the Germanic tribes and five toes, or five small countries, were formed. Then, in AD 1453, at the end of the Middle Ages, by the way, the eastern leg of the Roman Empire fell to the Muslim Turks, and five toes were formed, or five countries. This is a partial fulfillment of Nebuchadnezzar's dream interpreted by Daniel in Daniel chapter 2. Now look down at the Jewish line. In AD 30, this is when Jesus was crucified, the Jews were still blinded in rebellion, and they rejected the Lord. And from that time, from AD 30, all the way through, the Jewish nation has remained blinded and in rebellion to the Lord. And of course, you know that very well. Well, about AD 96, John put down his pen after completing the book of Revelation, and all that was left was time. Time for the things in the Revelation to unfold. John sent, or perhaps he delivered because we time the arrival of this, or the writing about the time John was let out of prison on the Isle of Patmos. So John's writing of the Revelation, he either sent it or he delivered it to from the Isle of Patmos, which is in the Aegean Sea, to the seven churches. Patmos is about 60 nautical miles east of the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was the closest city on the mainland from the island of Patmos. Therefore, it was the natural city to see the manuscript for the very first time. And from Ephesus, the manuscript followed the public road up the western coast of Asia to Smyrna, and then to Pergamum. Then the delivery of the manuscripts followed the road around over the top of the mountain range and down that road to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and finally to Laodicea. By AD 96, when the church received a book of the Bible to use in their services, because the books were being passed around, the copies were being passed around, the church leaders would have a copy made to keep at the church. Copying the Bible text as each church shared the different portions is why we have hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of documents of the Scripture to compare still today. They were protected by the church. And because it was the custom, no doubt, as the church manuscripts arrived at each of the seven churches, a copy was made before it was forwarded to the next city or taken by John himself up to the next city. Thus, the manuscript came to each town as the Lord dictated the letters to each church, which happened to be in the same order that the cities fell on the journey along the major trade route or the road. However, the natural order of the delivery of the manuscript to each church on the road was not the timeline of the demise of each church. The demise of these seven churches must occur before anything else in Revelation can start, starting in chapter 4. Therefore, that is why we looked at that timeline to see when all the seven churches ceased to exist. So here's the history about that. All of these seven churches were under the control of the Catholic Church. Remember, all churches were part of the Catholic Church in AD 96. Later, after 395, the church split also when the Roman Empire split, and the Catholic Church became the power in the West, and her sister church, which was basically Catholic, still Catholic, and still is today, her sister Orthodox Church was the major church in the East. The Catholic Encyclopedia Online tells us about these seven churches and when they closed their doors forever. It tells us the interesting timing of the last two surviving churches. It tells us that on September the 9th of 1921, the Muslims in Smyrna demanded that every Christian Jew leave the town. If they did not leave, their heads would be cut off. They had one day to move. On that day, the Catholic Church forever closed the doors to the original Smyrna Church. In October of AD 1922, the Muslims did the same thing in Thyatira. The Catholic Church closed her doors forever. All seven churches that are in John's Revelation's vision are no more. Now, by AD 96, when John recorded the revelation, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, interpreted by Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, had only been fulfilled down to the establishment of the Roman Empire as the dominant power in the world. The two legs had not been formed. And if you remember, Daniel revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that in his dream that Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire was the head of gold on the statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Next, the Medo-Persian Empire would come as the statue's chest of arms and silver. And then the Grecian Empire would come as the belly of bronze, followed by the Roman Empire to be the waist of iron on the statue. In AD 96, John was still living in the time of the waist of iron in the Roman Empire. Still to be fulfilled in Nebuchadnezzar's dream after John's life was over would be the division of the Roman Empire into two legs. And that occurred permanently in AD 395. Then in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, when the two legs both came to an end, down at the bottom, they would be divided into five toes on each leg. The division in the west was fulfilled in AD 476. The Germanic people who conquered the Western Roman Empire in 476 broke the landmass of that Western Roman Empire into five states that they could control: Britain, France, Spain, Italy, and North Africa. But 1,000 years later, in AD 1453, the Muslims defeated the Eastern Roman Empire, that's the Byzantine Empire, and broke that landmass into five states under their control. That was Greece, Macedonia, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. The ten toes have been established. Now, all that is left in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and this is important, all that is left in Nebuchadnezzar's dream is to be fulfilled, is for those ten toes to unite back together in one country, and they have not ever done that yet. That has not happened. It is still to be fulfilled before the second coming of the Lord. Now, Now that the churches are no more, Revelation 4 can begin. Two more prophecies have been fulfilled, and you can see where we are. X marks the spot on where we are in these next prophecies. In fact, in the chart, you see it, the big thing, you are here. Look at that chart. I just happened to fill out one other little thing that wasn't really a prophecy, but it happened to the church in 1517. In 1517, the first group actually left the Catholic Church to form what is called a Reformed Church. And now, of course, we're not part of the Catholic Church either, at least I am not. And so we have our major split, or the split that we followed, began in 1517. Then, you see, the church is just still on earth and waiting for the fulfillment of the next prophecy. On the Gentile line, I'm putting this here and I'm saying in AD 1917, Seal 1, the White Horse Road. That's Seal 1. The White Horse goes out to conquer and to create a godless world. And I'm telling you, that has happened. And get this, as I've already told you in this lesson, in 1948, Israel finally controlled part of the Promised Land again, but are still blinded in rebellion and rejection to the Lord. And boom, we are here. And in all three timelines, we are waiting for the next prophecies to be fulfilled. You want to know about that Seal 1 white horse and why I say that that has already occurred? Our time is up, and so I will pick up with that in our next time together in part 2 of 69 prophecies that must occur before the second coming of the Lord.